Romans chapter 1, and we will start at verse 1 of this chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey to, by the will of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. We'll end at verse 19, knowing that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible word. This evening, we take a very simple gospel message, simply called the Gospel of Christ, from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. First of all, we'll take a moment to seek the Lord and pray for his help just now. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the Bible, the Word of God. We thank Thee that we have in our own mother tongue the message of salvation explained and expounded. And we ask our Father that even now we might know that help from heaven as the gospel goes forth once again in this place. We pray In Jesus' name, Amen. The gospel, as we all know, is the good news. The word denotes the good tidings of the kingdom of God and salvation through Christ, received by faith on the basis of Christ's atoning death and resurrection. It is the good news that we do not need to go to a lost eternity. The good news that we do not need to go to hell forever. That God has opened up a door to heaven whereby sinners may enter in. And that door to heaven has been opened through the sacrifice of His dear Son on the cross of Calvary. Christ has died in the place of sinners, and He has borne the wrath of the Father against our sin, and He has risen victoriously over that death. The Lord Jesus has satisfied justice, divine justice, even through faith in Him and repentance from our sin. We may have eternal life as we enter in by the door. Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the door." The Bible, then, in this verse, defines the gospel as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And if you were to ask the question, what is the gospel? Very, very simply, we would respond by saying the gospel is a Christ-centered message. It declares a Savior from all sin. This good news finds its center and its circumference in the person and in the work of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. The gospel is not a set of rules, of do's and of don'ts. It is not a series of religious observances or merely a way of life. No, the gospel points to the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in the great and eternal purpose of God to redeem man from sin and to save a people to the glory of God. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news that Christ died for the ungodly. And so, consequently, the gospel is not about man. It's not about worldly organizations. It's not about these things. It is about how God feels about man, and how God loves man, and how God sent His Son to die for mankind, so that He might be gloriously saved. Therefore, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ from start to finish. All about our blessed Savior, the one who died on the cross at Calvary. John Calvin, the great French reformer, he said, "The whole gospel is contained in Christ." And that's true. The gospel is Christ. It is Him crucified for our sin. It is the central message that we have to proclaim. Christ died for the ungodly. And then going back to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, where we were this morning in chapter 1, we learn that Paul wrote in verse 17, Christ sent him to preach the gospel, not to baptize or do anything else. There's an awful lot of discussion today on the subject of baptism. And there's an awful lot of different views being put forth on that subject. And there's an awful lot of division amongst God's people caused by the subject of baptism. Paul says, Christ didn't send me to baptize. So let's get the importance of the gospel in its first place. Paul was sent by God to preach Christ, to preach the gospel. That's the important thing. All these other things fall into place afterwards. But thank God he preached Christ. He defined what he meant by stating, we preach Christ crucified. We can never get away from that. We preach Christ crucified. The gospel reveals that Jesus Christ, by virtue of what he is, has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary in his death for sinners, the only way whereby a sinner can be saved. There is no other way. The gospel is a Christ-centered message. And if anybody preaches any other gospel than this gospel, then let him be accursed, says the scriptures. Because there is no other way to heaven, only through the blood-stained cross of Calvary. The gospel also is a message to be preached. It's not to be held back. It's not to be covered over. We believe in preaching the gospel. It is God's ordained method of communicating God's message to a lost and to a dying world. He sent and commissioned his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And the apostle Paul was sent to preach the gospel, as I've said. And my friends, that's the importance of it. The message has got to go forth. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We were thinking about the Greeks this morning and how they looked at the gospel of Christ dying on the cross as foolishness unto them. And yet we're told in that very same chapter that it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. What seems foolish in the eyes of the world is wise in the eyes of God, sensible to the Almighty. And we want to go God's way. Writing to the Romans in chapter 10, Paul reminds them that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The entire thrust of the message emphasizes the need for preachers being sent forth to preach the gospel, the word of God. The emphasis is on the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, the glad tidings, the good news that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, in the charge of the Great Commission, going back to that again, our Lord instructs his disciples, preach the gospel. And so it has to be preached. The public preaching and the private presentation of the gospel are ordained of God. The preaching publicly, the Bible, is ordained of God. Private conversation with another, telling them and explaining to them the way of salvation, is ordained of God. And it's all part of God's great scheme in making known the good news and in telling others that there is salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And whether it is to the crowds, the large numbers, as when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, or to an individual, as when Philip in Acts chapter 8 preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. It's still the presentation of the gospel, the preaching of Christ. The principle is the same. It is God's means of reaching the lost. Peter, preaching to a large crowd on that day, reached many people, and many were gloriously saved. Philip, in witnessing to an individual sinner, was effective in the hand of God in winning the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. Either way, God has ordained it, and we must obey the commission of God. The Great Commission is not only directed to ministers and preachers and missionaries and evangelists and every type of Christian worker, but every Christian is appointed to be a witness and to make it his business to proclaim Christ to perishing souls by his manner of living and by his words and his speech. And therefore, the command is given, go ye. Go ye. That includes us all. That's our Saviour's command to every believer. The gospel is Christ-centered message. And it's a message that must be preached. And also, it's a message for the world. The gospel must be proclaimed throughout the whole world. The Savior commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel witness began in Jerusalem all those years ago when Christ commissioned his disciples. Then the gospel spread to neighboring Judea, and then further afield into Samaria, not far away. And we're told that it ultimately spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. And thank God that in obedience to that great commission, the Church of Jesus Christ is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every creature. This gospel is to be preached in all places and in all situations to all kinds of people. The church which is not missionary minded cannot profess to be a truly New Testament church in the Bible sense, because we have got to consider the need for the gospel to spread throughout the entire world. Thank God we have learned just recently of people in our own congregation, in their own quiet way, lending support to the spread of that gospel by giving money in collections and in missionary boxes, amounting over a period of time to a considerable sum of money. For what? For the spreading of the good news. For the help of reaching the world for Christ. In the winning of souls for the Lord Jesus. The advancement of his kingdom. And while you may be at home praying and giving, you're still a vital part of this great missionary enterprise. And we thank God for it. Let us be encouraged and let us rejoice that God has been pleased to make us part of this great work. The gospel must be preached to the very ends of the earth. And so in obedience to this great commission, the Lord gives to his servants the assurance that their work will spread and their work will be blessed of God. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. This gospel of the kingdom of Christ shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to the saving grace of the Lord. And it's wonderful to think that we have some small part in that. Be encouraged. Also, I might add, the gospel is a message of divine power. We were thinking this morning from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians of Christ being made the power of God to his people. The power of God and the wisdom of God unto his people. Now, the preacher or the individual worker, the child of God in the pew, can go forward in confidence and in boldness that he knows that the message he bears will bring forth fruit. The promise is, my word shall not return unto me void. That's because it's filled with the vital power of God inherent in that word. And God has promised that it will be fruitful in the thing whereto it is sent. And you go forth to your labours day by day as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the very power of God in your life, the very wisdom of God in your soul, helping you to make known the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And here in Romans chapter 1, we're told that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As God's word, it is unlike any other message. It is unlike any other word. There is quickness in God's message. There is sharpness in God's message. It is a two-edged sword. There is division in God's message. It divides asunder and it pierces the very soul of the man. It is a devouring flame, the Bible tells us, and a crushing hammer, and it has life-giving power. Thank God, the Bible says the word of God converts the soul that lies in sin. What a message there is in the scriptures. In the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. And when it is made known, as it ought to be made known, in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, it will be applied to the heart of the sinner by the authority of the Holy Spirit himself. We do not then depend on our own might, nor do we depend on man's measures, nor do we depend on methodology. Well, all these things are right in their own place, yet our dependence is not placed in them, not in any human instrument, but upon the greatness of the inspired truth itself. And when it goes forth from a holy life, from the lips of a child of God, even the unspoken as well as the spoken word from such an one has power as the Holy Spirit uses that testimony for the glory of Christ. Thank God for the way of the cross. It leads to heaven and home. Let us all be part of this great work. And then the gospel is also a message of transforming grace. Changes lives. Turns people around. And by that I mean a man is turned around from facing hell to heaven. He's turned around from going down that sinful road to travelling the road to heaven. Only the grace of God can do that for a sinner. Tell me, has your life been changed? Have you been turned around? From the day you were born, you're bound for hell. You're on the road to destruction. You're travelling the broad way. You need to be turned around. And only Christ can take you and change you and transform you and set you on the road heavenward. Will you start tonight? Will you begin walking that road this evening by turning to Christ by faith and accepting Him as your own and personal Saviour? The gospel of Jesus Christ changes the sinner's life and breaks the power of cancelled sin and makes him a new creature. A message of transforming grace. Thank God we have seen it operate in many lives. Thank God you know many people on whom this work of grace has taken place. You've seen the change. And when people profess to be saved and there's no change, we're disappointed. We're disappointed. But thank God, real salvation, real conversion produces a change in a man's life, in his manner of living, on the road that he travels. You'll no longer travel that broad road, but you'll travel the narrow way. The gospel brings about a great miracle of grace in the heart and in the life of that repenting sinner. Oh, may it happen to you tonight. May it grip you. A transformation occurs, and the convert experiences a radical change of heart. And in the justifying act of God at the moment of his salvation, there begins a new work, a sanctifying work, a work of setting apart the newborn child of God. And from there on, he is being set apart. He is being sanctified. He is being made holy. He is being made more like the image of Christ and being Christ-like day by day. That's what makes the difference. Salvation is but the beginning of a new life. It's the start of something very wonderful. And thank God, many in this house tonight have started for heaven. And the work of sanctification, becoming more Christ-like, is ongoing in your life day by day. Oh, I trust that others will come into this blessed experience. The gospel alone can and will produce this change. Therefore, the urgent need is this. Ruined lives need to be saved. Broken homes need to be mended. Divided societies need healing. This sinful world needs the gospel of the grace of God, and the church needs revival. That quickening again, that fire which comes from above by the infilling of God the Holy Spirit and by the mighty power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God be pleased to send us revival, changing lives, transforming his own people, and doing a great work in the days which lie ahead through the everlasting gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.